Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Tonight on The Readout.
And right now, the safest and most appropriate treatment for me and the treatment that I choose is abortion. I will never try to force someone to have an abortion. And nobody should ever try to prevent me from having mine.
A profile in Courage from State Senator Eva Birch of Arizona, publicly discussing her planned abortion and advocating for the reproductive rights of all women. Senator Birch joins me tonight. Also, chaos in the courts over whether Texas can use state and local police to arrest and deport migrants. Plus, the Oversight Committee's impeachment freak show continues with a series of sketchy witnesses, including one convicted fraudster who could not attend today's hearing in person because he's behind bars. But we begin tonight with the desperation of a man facing a ticking clock. With each tick and each talk, two thoughts weigh on this man's mind: staying out of prison and not becoming destitute and losing all of his properties. Donald Trump has 5 days left to come up with the $454 million bond for his New York civil fraud judgment, or New York Attorney General Letitia James can start seizing the very properties that Trump has used to portray himself as a wealthy and successful businessman, the crux of what elevated him to the White House. AG James wrote in a filing today that an appellate court should disregard Trump's claims that posting the full bond is a practical impossibility and hitting Trump where it hurts, continuing that if Trump has been unable to get a company to accept his properties as collateral for a bond, it may be because using Trump's real estate will generally need a property appraisal, and his holdings are not nearly as valuable as defendants claim. CNN reports that Trump is in panic mode as the deadline approaches. That's according to multiple sources familiar with his addled-brained thinking. Quote, Trump's team has sought out wealthy supporters and weighed what assets could be sold, and fast. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee himself has become increasingly concerned about the optics the March 25th deadline could present, especially the prospect that someone whose identity has long been tied to his wealth would confront financial crisis. Perhaps included in that Trump team are some right-wing talk radio and Fox cable hosts, because there was Mark Levin tweeting out an SOS calling in an outrage that no Republican multi-billionaires are offering to lend Trump $500 million. And then there was Trump's former White House chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, begging Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary on live television to pony up the money.
I was wondering, if he can't get to the Supreme Court, will you loan him the $460 million?
You know,
just to help, in order to protect America's name. Think of it that way.
To get the bond, he was able to get the 90-plus million from Chubb.
Yeah.
I don't know of a bond more than 90 million. I don't recall one.
Yeah.
You need cash to back up the bond insurance.
Sorry, Donald. Looks like no deal there. Even Elon Musk, one of the world's richest people who doesn't seem to be too concerned with throwing his money away, has said he would not be willing to add any amount to the cause.
Are you going to loan him money to help pay his bills?
No.
Not at all. Pay his legal bills.
I'm not paying his legal bills in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you'd think that maybe Trump's son-in-law, Jared, who obtained a $2 billion investment from Saudi Arabia, might be willing to help out his dear old father-in-law. But he seems preoccupied by buying real estate all over Eastern Europe and musing about the valuable waterfront property in decimated Gaza. Stay classy, Jared. But the reality is that whoever ultimately steps up and gives Trump the money effectively owns him. And if that person truly believes Trump will win in November, that would mean they would have purchased the president of the United States, the most powerful person in the world. If you're a Saudi prince or a Russian oligarch or Vladimir Putin himself, what could make for a more tantalizing prospect? And that reality is why this situation could quickly become a major national security threat.
In other words, who is he beholden to? Whether, you know, it's a foreign person, whether it's an American person, doesn't really matter. That is something that the electorate would have a keen interest in knowing. Because, you know, to be somewhat snarky about it, if it is coming from another person, then the former president and candidate for office might have 464 million reasons to do what that person wants. And so that issue of is he beholden to somebody is going to become, you know, quite salient as a political matter.
And who knows how far Trump would be willing to go for the person pulling his strings. If Putin were to front the money and Trump were to win the presidency, what happens if Putin tells Trump to, say, pull the U.S. out of NATO? Of course, the investment to pay off, Trump has to actually win in November. And the problem is things don't seem to be going too well on that front right now. As the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, there have still been a significant number of Republican voters in state primaries who are not willing to support Donald Trump. His fundraising halls are getting smaller from big and small donors alike, while his campaign's fundraising texts are becoming more frequent and more desperate. And even though he installed his own daughter-in-law to run the RNC, they too are strapped for cash. Beyond that, it's not like Trump is growing his base. His attempts to court the black vote by hawking overpriced gold sneakers is a bust. Forget counting on getting more women voters as he signals his support for a 15-week national abortion ban. And as his base gets smaller, the worse it is for him. Which brings us back to the desperation of a man facing this most unwelcome sound. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Joining me now is presidential historian Douglas Brinkley, professor of history at Rice University, David K. Johnston, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and founder of DCReport.org, and Catherine Christian, former Manhattan assistant district attorney and MSNBC legal analyst. Thank you all for being here. I want to go right down the middle to David K. Johnston because let's just get a sense of what Trump has. We're going to put this up. This is an exhaustive list, actually, of what he actually owns. People think he owns hundreds and hundreds of things, but it's really this stuff. Trump Park Avenue, Trump Tower, New York, 40 Wall Street, Seven Springs, Westchester. There's stuff including Turnberry overseas in Scotland, you know, in Aberdeen, Scotland, two golf courses there. What has he actually got and how quick could he sell it, David?
Well, at this point, anybody who would be a buyer knows they've got enormous leverage, and these would be fire sale prices. In addition, Donald undoubtedly has covenants in the loans on other properties that require him to maintain a certain level of cash, that don't allow him to encumber or sell properties without approvals of some kind. You know, if you have a mortgage on your home, even if you only owe 20% of the value of the house, and you want to get a HELOC, a home equity loan, or a second mortgage, if the first lender says no, you can't get it. And that's part of the problem that Donald is in.
And the other problem, of course, Douglas Brinkley here at the table, is that whoever buys it, you know, as I said, if they give him the money or they loan it to him, let me let you listen to Alina Hobbit. This is one of his lawyers. And she has asked, this is one of his attorneys, if Donald Trump is trying to take money from a foreign country to try to pay this bill. Here she is.
Is there any effort on the part of your team to secure this money through another country, Saudi Arabia or Russia, as Joy Behar seems to think?
Well, there's rules and regulations that are public. I can't speak about strategy.
Douglas, that's not a no.
That's not a no. Donald Trump's going to do anything he can to either slip out of this or find somebody to flip the bill for him. But $454 billion.
And counting.
And million dollars counting. That is just a hard amount of money to find. No bank wanted to do it. No financial service. No human. There may be Russian oligarchs. There may be people that are going to vote for Trump that are rich. But that's just throwing money into the wind. So Monday is a historic day. Letitia James is going down as this incredibly historic figure, Clarence Darrow of our time.
Yeah.
And she's the one who seems to have held him accountable, which is only right, because he made his so-called fortune in New York. He did his scams and fraudulent acts in New York. And it may be New York that gets his comeuppance here come Monday.
Is there an historical sort of precedence for this? I mean, we do know J.P. Morgan at one point bailed out the U.S. government. I can't think of any other sort of precedent for this at all, of essentially an individual or group of individuals being able to essentially own the president of the United States.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, we used to talk about worries that the Lincoln bedroom was for sale
yeah.
in the White House.
Remember that?
Some
quaint guest, times.
Quaint.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the White House is for Donald Trump saying, if I get in, you'll be my friend. So we all have to keep eyes on Saudi Arabia. We have to keep eyes on Russian oligarchs. We have to look where this money's coming from in case he does become the next president. We can't be held hostage
yeah.
to the loaner.
Catherine, can you just walk us through kind of how this would work? Because, you know, is this a matter of Letitia James with a giant padlock going up to Trump Tower or these buildings and locking Donald Trump out? Like, how would she actually obtain, or how would the state of New York obtain these properties?
Well, there's a process. On Monday, assuming that the New York Appellate Division does not grant a stay of enforcement of the judgment, Attorney General James, she's not ceding any ground, will have her lawyers go to court. You have to go to court. This is not going to happen overnight. And then you start requesting, finding, he has to tell us where his liquid assets are, he meaning Donald Trump. Start the process of seizing those assets. Start the process of seizing property, putting liens on properties. So that the process, assuming he doesn't come up with the bond or the money, will start on Monday. But it's a long process that will start because it's a legal process and everything's going to be, for the Attorney General's half, at least above board.
Let me ask you to stay with you just for a moment, Catherine, because we know, like, when people owe, for instance, like taxes or child support, your wages can be garnished. He's trying right now to sell Truth Social, which I didn't know anybody used it besides him and a few of his hardcore followers, but he's trying to get a lot of money for it. He could receive a huge financial windfall, per the Associated Press, if he puts this social media cup, Trump Media and Technology Group, on the stock market under the symbol DJT. Trump would own at least 58% of the shares of the company. And it's the company that runs Truth Social. If he then nets a bunch of money, because this could literally be $1 billion, it could be a lot of money, can the Attorney General's office seize those assets?
They could try to seize his liquid assets. If you're going to have sympathy for him, think about every day there are people of modest means who have judgments against them. And if you're of modest means, a $50,000 judgment is the equivalent of $500 million.
Yeah.
So, as you said, child support. There are people who, because they can't pay judgments, they are having their assets seized. And as I said, it's the equivalent of $1 billion if you're a person of modest means and you have a judgment of $50,000 against you.
David, let me play for you. This is Fox. So it's so interesting watching Fox have to actually, like, do the news instead of do Donald Trump's PR. So, but this is a Fox a conversation on Fox about why billionaires may not be rushing to come in and help Donald Trump. Here they are.
What is behind their reluctance?
Well, it's as of now. So right. Let's see.
That. I mean, are they afraid that they might not see it anytime soon? The money, if he even succeeds on appeal, what's
yeah,
the problem?
I mean, that's one thing. I mean, I think I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak for Bernie Marcus. That's for sure. But just generally, Donald doesn't have a great record at paying back banks over the years. And Donald Trump. So, you can sort of surmise from that what you will.
David.
Anybody who loans money to Donald will have to fight like hell to get paid back. And one of the aspects of this, Joey, I think is very important is, you know, the framers of our Constitution, they thought very carefully about corrupting the presidency. So we have the emoluments clauses, neither the state governments or foreign governments under those clauses, which, of course, Donald paid no attention to, can put money in a president's pocket. But it never occurred to them, unless Doug tells me I'm wrong about my history here, it's never occurred to them, oh, you might have a foreign government with leverage over the president because he's in debt to them. I don't find any evidence they thought about that for 2 seconds. And that's exactly what we're faced with, is Donald being beholden to MBS or Orban or one of Putin's criminal gang.
And that is kind of the sort of George Washington's nightmare, right?
It was the founding of our country's nightmare that we would have somebody who was a bad player, who was either president, in this case, ex-president, who was trying to game the system
And, you know, we have people like scoundrels, Aaron Burr, you know, that whole story. We've had people like Vice President Spiro Agnew, sure. got in trouble with Brock. This is huge. But the good news for the justice is finally coming home. $454 million has to be found. He himself, Donald Trump, bragged. A year ago, I have liquid $400 million.
Produce it.
Show the money.
We are at a point now, Douglas, where I can't even fathom. The former president of the United States is sending out desperate looking. This is the fundraising text. Trump alert. Trump alert with the iconic Trump Tower. Keep your filthy hands off Trump Tower. The desperation, it's pathetic. There's a sort of pathos to it in a way. Although there's no reason to feel sorry for him. This is somebody who violated the Emoluments Clause every day that he was president by having the Saudis and others check into his hotel and swipe their credit cards to pay him off. How ironic is it that now he is down to begging his broke supporters to send him $20?
That's the great irony. And Trump supporters now will pony up a little bit, but to hit that nut, and there may be more to come, it's kind of impossible. If I were Trump, I would try to get this out of the headlines, and I'd get rid of some properties. Dump quick. You're going for the White House. Don't play games right now, because this is, I think, doing the most damage to him out of all of the cases he's had this year, because Monday is looming, and he might be able to punt it for another week or a couple of weeks, but that money's going to be due.
How can he punt it, Catherine? Because his lawyers aren't like A-listers, but they've been very good at delaying justice in the criminal cases. The civil case is not so much, but is there a way they could delay this again?
I don't believe they can, because remember, the day the judgment was issued by Judge Engoron, that's when it was due, and he was given 30 days to pay. So he already has been given a grace period. Now, of course, his lawyers can go into court and ask for more of a grace period, but he's already been given a month.
David K. Johnston, he's wasted that month going around praising Hitler and telling Jewish people that they don't love their religion if they don't love him, and doing all sorts of other shenanigans. Why hasn't he actually been trying to raise the money rather than just saying a whole lot of things that make him sound like his brain is as smooth as a baby's bottom?
Well, I would ask the question, why hadn't he started doing this 2 years ago? Once this case began, Donald's own words made it clear that he thought this was a kangaroo court and therefore he was going to have to pay. You would plan for that. But Donald doesn't plan. I mean, it's one of the ways he's very different than Barack Obama. Barack Obama played political chess and he was seven moves ahead of everybody else on the board, which is how he pulled off some things that didn't look like you could pull them off. Donald is like a student who goes out partying all night and then at 7 a.m. says, oh, I've got to turn my term paper in by noon. And it looks like the same quality work, too.
Yes, indeed. Douglas Brinkley, David K. Johnston, Catherine Christian, thank you all very much. Get to work, Donald. You're going to have to come up with some cash. Up next on The Readout, Donald Trump has this unhelpful pattern of picking candidates in primaries who might be too extreme to win the actual election. And that's exactly what happened last night in Ohio. We'll be right back.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control our bodies and get the health care we need has been stolen from us. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, we can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
the category of crimes that you're then charged
under? You have charges. You have charges. Sir, please
name. Want me to name the exact statute under RICO?
Yes.
Well, that about sums up today's chaotic and embarrassing impeachment inquiry hearing on Capitol Hill. House Republicans are still trying to salvage their flailing case to impeach President Biden for something, even though they have neither evidence nor facts nor reliable witnesses. But the show must go on. It's all part of the party's desperate attempt to tarnish Biden before the November election, probably because they're nervous about their own guy's chances. And they should be. Yesterday, voters show that while Trump still holds dominance over the Republican Party in the primaries, he also presents some pretty glaring red flags when it comes to the general election. In Florida, for instance, Trump received 81% of the vote, while Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley received just under 20% combined, despite the fact that they both dropped out of the race. To compare, Trump won nearly 94% of the Florida primary vote in 2020. While in Ohio, the Trump-backed Senate candidate, Bernie Moreno, won the Republican nomination over normie candidate Matt Dolan, which, if history is any indication, might be better news for Democrats than it is for Republicans. We've seen this before. Trump drags these MAGA weirdos over the finish line in the primaries, and they only wind up helping Democrats win in the general. I mean, don't take it from me. Take it from non-Senators Blake Masters, Herschel Walker, and Mehmet Oz. Joining me now is David Jolly, former Republican congressman from Florida and MSNBC political analyst. David, you know, yesterday, a source of mine from Ohio, I asked which candidate were they concerned about, facing in the United States Senate. And they said basically the other two, other than Moreno, the one that they were enthusiastic about winning was Moreno, because this person who's like been in politics in Ohio, they were like, that's the one that we want. The Sherrod Brown team wants. Does Donald Trump work for Joe Biden secretly? Is he trying to elect Joe Biden?
Yeah, Joy, Republicans keep learning all the wrong lessons. I mean, look, you can look at the past several cycles, and even Democrats would say Ohio is kind of slipping away from them. Until last night, when all of a sudden Republicans and Donald Trump say, hey, why don't we run Moreno against the very popular Democratic incumbent in Sherrod Brown and give Sherrod Brown a chance not just of holding Ohio, but holding the Senate for Democrats. And you're exactly right. I mean, all the wrong lessons are, look at Herschel Walker in Georgia, a pickup they should have had in 22. Look at Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, one they could have had. And in Ohio, where they nominated J.D. Vance against Tim Ryan, J.D. Vance underperformed other statewide Republicans by about 20 points. Mike DeWine 2 years ago actually won, I think, by about 25 points, other statewide candidates in the high teens. J.D. Vance, with his level of Trumpian crazy, just bested Tim Ryan by 6. So like, Donald Trump and Republicans have decided, hey, let's go into November with a whole shoebox full of crazy, see if we can lose some races we otherwise should have won, and hand the United States Senate back to the Democrats.
I mean, Kerry Lake in Arizona, does this make any sense? Okay, plan B.
Hey, you know what we're missing, Joy?
Yeah.
You'll remember. Here's what we're missing from Republicans this cycle. I am not a witch. You remember that? You remember the Delaware race? At some point, a candidate this cycle will say, I'm not a witch.
Maybe they should run a witch. It might actually be, then they could like maybe, you know, use some like sorcery to get to try to win. The other plan B, impeach Joe Biden. But except for that, all their witnesses are like, okay, we can't impeach Joe Biden. Here's Lev Parnas, who literally was one of the people who invented the scam, pretend, you know, Biden crimes. Here's Lev Parnas testifying in Capitol Hill.
Everyone involved knew they were sharing lies. From Trump and Giuliani's shadow diplomacy, through my missions to Ukraine and elsewhere, to members of a BLT team, a group convened for the sole purpose of investigating and damaging the Bidens. Everything was for the ultimate benefit of Donald Trump and thereby Vladimir Putin. Because the team's investigations were centered around Biden and Ukraine, I was designated the point person in every matter they pursued. That is how I know with certainty that these Biden stories are untrue then and are untrue now.
He mentions Vladimir Putin. In addition to that crap show today, 9 House Republicans, the 9 you probably expect, voted against a resolution condemning the Russian abduction of Ukrainian children, David. They all were provided. They're all trying to get Biden elected. What is happening? How are you against the abduction of children? What is happening?
There is no ideological justification for that vote. I don't know if it's just like owning the libs or I'm trying to make the news or I'm trying to best Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's really odd to see Republicans vote like that. But I think what is not odd and what deserves further investigation is really this alliance with Putin's Russia. Because if Democrats were in control of the House right now, the real investigation that would be going on is how House Republican members have accepted and coordinated information with a known Russian asset who's now been charged by our Department of Justice. That now is at the root of this entire Hunter Biden investigation. And recall, it's not just about Hunter Biden now. The Russian asset that was proffering this story, and when we saw Giuliani peddling it, everything else that was going on, this is at the root of Donald Trump's very first impeachment. Right, when he was actually using the official powers of the White House to try to create this anti-Biden narrative, all that Republicans have left is Hunter Biden clearly went into business because his last name is Biden and attracted some clients. Well, if that's illegal in Washington, D.C., half the Republican Congress would be out of work.
Everybody has to go to work. And then lastly, putting North Carolina back in play. Between the North Carolina governor nominee, who says he likes the days when women couldn't vote, is now comparing Planned Parenthood, man with saggy pants, and the Klan. He says those are all the same thing. Plus, you've got the North Carolina Public Schools chief nominee, who's calling for the execution of President Obama and suggested killing Joe Biden. That's their candidates in North Carolina.
Joy, wild and crazy Republican candidates up and down the ballot. But I think if you look at this incrementally, right, you take a North Carolina that maybe Democrats need to make up about 6 points to win this. Now they've been gifted candidates that'll hand them 3 or 4 points right there. How do they make up the difference? This is a state where now the Dobbs decision really comes into play.
Yes.
Because not only are soft Republican candidates looking at their own, or soft Republican voters looking at their own candidates saying, no, I just can't do this. They're also being reminded that, wait a minute, this is the party gave us Dobbs. This is a very good shot for Democrats in North Carolina.
And even look, even in Maryland, where they're running somebody who's not for abortion rights, but he's supposed to be a normie, but he's also not for abortion rights. Even all of these candidates, David Jolly, thank you very much. Up next on The Readout, we are waiting on the courts to figure out whether Texas is allowed to implement its draconian law allowing state police to arrest migrants, the most extreme border law in the entire country. More after the break.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Supreme Court isn't called supreme for nothing. It's the highest court in the land with nothing else above it, hence the Supreme. And we have it for a reason. The Biden administration and immigrant rights organizations have sued Texas, claiming their law, known as SB 4, is unconstitutional because it interferes with federal immigration laws. It went up to the Supreme Court. But instead, they said, nah, we're not going to rule on the merits of this law, and instead kicked it back to the lower appeals court. How very unsupreme. The law remains on hold while the appeals court deliberates. SB 4 would turn Texas into the new show-me-your-paper state, allowing state and local police officers to arrest people suspected of being in the country illegally. And it would allow judges to order the deportation of migrants to ports of entry along Texas's border with Mexico, regardless of which country the migrant is from. How this law would be enforced without violating federal and state civil rights or racial profiling laws remains to be seen. Well, but spoiler alert, it can't. Joining me now is Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett of Texas. So many questions, Congresswoman. Question number one, how would your average state police officer know who is an undocumented migrant or not? Because the state is like 40% Hispanic.
They won't. It was interesting because I saw an interview that one of the sheriffs at the border did, and he basically said, I do understand that there will be an inclination with this law to engage in racial profiling. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a lot more training. But let me tell you something. We've seen it. You said it's the new show me your papers. We've seen it in Arizona. We've seen what happened when they tried it in New York. I guess they're deciding that a third time is a charm. So let's just go ahead and try it in Texas as well. But every single time that we've tried this, we have failed. Not to mention, we know the history of policing in this country.
Right.
We know that racial profiling. Now, while we're talking about immigrants, so we're more than likely going to be talking about those of Hispanic persuasion that are really going to be targeted because of this law. But historically, law enforcement, especially local law enforcement, has never done right when it came down to policing people of color. And if we think about the history of what policing was in the slave patrols, I mean, the history of it says it all. It was always about going after people of color. And the fact that our Supreme Court actually did the right thing for 2 seconds by placing it on hold and then at the last minute decided that it could go forward as they are going through the appeals process is really shameful, especially since here recently we had a situation in El Paso where a United States citizen family was run off the road simply because there were local law enforcement that thought that they were illegal migrants.
And question number two, because immigration law is supposed to be a federal thing, not a state thing. So that seems to be an obvious, it violates that. But also, not everyone who's coming over the border is Mexican. I think there's this stereotype that if you're Latino, you're Mexican. No, a lot of those people are Honduran. They're coming from Guatemala, Venezuela. They're coming from all over the place. Mexico has said, you can't just send people here. They're not Mexican citizens. It's a no for us.
They
are a sovereign country. We can't just send people there.
Listen, they don't care about what Mexico got to say. Remember when Trump said that Mexico was going to build the wall?
Remember that? And they were paying for it.
Exactly. You know, so they always want to treat Mexico as if they are just our little stepbrother and they're just going to do whatever, you know, we say do. We being the Republicans, I should say. But as you talk about the racial profiling, you know, right now we're talking a lot about Haiti. And if people think back to the images of those local law enforcement agents on horseback whipping Haitians, Haitians also came through that exact same pathway. So it's another failure to really consider this. But obviously, we are consistently having these issues where we don't respect federal law, specifically if on the federal level, the Democrats are in control.
Right.
This is what we keep doing. It's all about the states' rights now, right?
Yeah.
But this is a federal issue. And this is why President Biden has tried to be clear that he wanted money to support those cities that are struggling because of my governor sending immigrants all over the country. He wanted to support them. He also wanted to support making sure that we can go through the asylum process a lot quicker by making sure that we have more judges. He also wanted to make sure that we have more caseworkers. He also wanted to make sure that we could detect fentanyl and other types of drugs. Newsflash, we've been getting drugs across the border, whether it was cocaine, weed, or whatever it is. And he wanted to make sure that we could do all those things. You know who stopped it? My good old colleagues on the other side.
The Republicans.
Yeah.
Last question. There is an interesting Senate race coming up. How vulnerable is Ted Cruz? Because he's got an opponent that is a former NFL player, very attractive candidate. And he is one of the cosplayers on this issue of immigration where he does like cosplay things rather than legislate.
You know, Texas is a wild state. But let me tell you something, that's controversial. Texas is blue. I know people think I'm crazy, but we really are. But we're a non-voting state. We are a voter apathy state, and we are also a voter suppressed state. And so when you combine those three, we end up with a problem. But let me tell you, probably the most problematic U.S. senator that is up right now for the Republicans is Ted Cruz versus a Colin Allred, who is a very strong candidate, who actually has federal legislative experience. He has a record that you can look at.
Yeah.
You can see that it's not a far-leaning left record. You can see that it's more moderate. And it's something that even those Republicans that are just turned off by Ted Cruz, they can rely on Colin Allred. And so I think it's going to be a real race.
And he probably won't run off to Cancun at a time when his state is actually freezing. My guess is he'd probably stay in the state and do his job. Congresswoman Jasmine Hockett, I'll put that on myself. I'll put that on you. Thank you.
The shade.
Just a little bit. Coming up next, striking new data showing that abortions are actually at the highest level in more than a decade, thanks to medication, something the Supreme Court could restrict nationwide now that they've taken up a case on it, despite claiming that they would leave abortion up to the states when they overturned Roe. Stay with us. It's been 2 years since the conservative Supreme Court decided that women in America are second-class citizens. Since then, about half of American states have passed draconian forced birth abortion laws that tell women and doctors what they can and cannot do. In January, we got a sense of the trauma these laws are inflicting on women. There have been roughly 64,000 pregnancies caused by rape in states with total abortion bans. 64,000 forced births. Yesterday, the Guttmacher Institute announced that more than 6 in 10 abortions in 2023 were done by medication, which is a significant jump since 2020. The increase is due in part to the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, shuttering clinics, leading to more need for telehealth abortion care and abortions through medication, which explains why the forced birth party now wants to restrict access to those medications. Next week, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments from right-wing groups claiming that the FDA illegally accelerated approval of mifepristone, one of the two available medications to assist in abortions, and that the distribution of that medication violates the Comstock laws, 19th century laws that criminalized obscene materials. Just to make it clearer for you, Republicans want the Supreme Court to effectively ban the most popular form of medical abortion for every single woman in America, regardless of where they live, red or blue state. And this comes after Justices Samuel Alito and Brett Kavanaugh assured us that abortion should be left up to the people and their state representatives. Yeah, right. Now, if by some miracle the Supreme Court doesn't ban abortion nationwide, and you really shouldn't hold your breath on that one, forced birth Republicans have a backup plan, and that is Donald Trump, the adjudicated sexual assaulter who said women should be punished for having abortions. And he's making it clear that he, too, has decided what's best for women. And he's looking, and it's looking for him like a 15-week national abortion ban. Apparently, when you're the president, they let you do it. Women of America, you better wake up, because the cavalry that you are waiting for isn't someone or something else. It is you. And the only way to save us from our Republican-orchestrated handmaid's tale is to get out and vote for candidates who actually respect a woman's right to choose. To that point, a number of activists in various states are trying to pass ballot initiatives that would enshrine abortion access into various state constitutions. One of those states is Arizona, which has an 1864 abortion ban on the books, which some are asking the Arizona Supreme Court to put into effect. The problem today is that women have been deemed secondary to guns, corporations, and religion. Decisions affecting women's health are being drafted largely by a Republican Party dominated by right-wing Christian men. On Monday, Arizona Democratic State Senator Eva Birch shared with her colleagues something that no one should feel the need to discuss in public: her need for an abortion.
We have determined that my pregnancy is once again not progressing and is not viable. And once again, I have scheduled an appointment to terminate my pregnancy. Right now, the safest and most appropriate treatment for me and the treatment that I choose is abortion. But the laws that this legislature has passed has interfered with my ability to do that, along with countless others. And I want to explain what I mean and why I'm still pregnant. First, I was required to have another ultrasound at the abortion clinic. I didn't have an ultrasound because my doctor thought I needed one. I had one because legislation has forced me to do that. Then I got to sit through an exhaustive list of absolute disinformation that was read off to me. I was told that there were alternatives to abortion, parenting or adoption among them, as if delivering a healthy baby is an option for me.
And Senator Birch joins me next.
There's no one-size-fits-all script for people seeking abortion care, and the legislature doesn't have any right to assign one. I'm choosing abortion because I'm pregnant and for reasons that I should not have to explain to you or to the church or to the state of Arizona. I need to not be pregnant anymore. That's the best outcome for me.
And Senator Ava Birch joins me now. Senator Birch, thank you so much for being here. I just wonder how it felt to have to disclose your personal medical information to your colleagues just to be able to express your right to have health care.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's never easy to share the most private moments of your life at a time where you're feeling loss and feeling vulnerability. But I knew that this was a really unique opportunity. I'm right in the middle of what's really the most critical intersection in the conversation about reproductive health care and access to abortion. I've been a patient seeking abortion. I've been a medical provider in the reproductive healthcare space and now a lawmaker. So I've seen and experienced firsthand from every angle how our decisions have failed the people of Arizona. And I have an obligation to those who elected me to do what I can to be an advocate. And I felt like I had to take the opportunity.
You know, when I watched your speech, what struck me was the infantilization of women involved in this process. When you're saying you're being told you have to watch a video about adoption as an option, your pregnancy is non-viable. There's no adoption option. I mean, is this what the status is, that women have to be lectured about their health and not by their doctor? Is this by your doctor? Who is giving this speech?
So just to clarify, it's not a video that I have to watch. It's my medical provider who is required to say a number of things, wow, really regardless of the circumstances that the individual is in. What we really should have is a stakeholder process when we're creating laws about reproductive health care, which would include medical organizations and doctors, people who are working directly in their field, but they're just being legislated against. It's extremist politicians with no background in healthcare who are essentially writing these scripts for the doctors. And they're not interested in patients having good outcomes or getting high quality care. They transparently and openly want to manipulate and frighten patients. They're using laws to try to coerce doctors into changing their patient's mind with no regard for their circumstances. But in my case, yes, I was told a number of things that don't apply to my situation. I was told that I could consider parenting or that I could consider adoption, which is really an unkind and cruel thing to say to someone, yeah, who really is experiencing a pregnancy loss. I was also told that if I chose to continue my pregnancy, that the father would have to financially support me, which in my case, of course, is my husband, and it's a ridiculous thing to say. So they really don't have any regard for individual circumstances. They're just being told what to say.
And I will note that you are somebody who has been pregnant before. You've had children. It just, people are assuming that this is, you know, that people who are in the situation of needing abortions are people who do not want to be a parent. You are a parent, no?
I am a parent. I have two little boys who I love and I'm so lucky to have. And we have actively tried to get pregnant for a long time. This time we were not actively trying to get pregnant, but we were definitely not actively trying to not get, yeah, pregnant. We were just, you know, letting things happen. And, you know, we'll see when we cross that bridge. But when we found out we were pregnant, we were very excited about it. But I think that there is this narrative that people who are against abortion are trying to push about who the abortion patient is. And yeah, I felt like it was really important to me that I had to show that the abortion patient can come from anywhere and can be in any different circumstance. That what's happening to me is really common. Pregnancy, yeah, failure and pregnancy loss is incredibly common. And we are patients too. And all of our rights deserve the same regard.
Absolutely. Arizona is one of the states, along with Arkansas, Colorado, Florida, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, South Dakota, that are considering, you know, laws that would actually enshrine women's right to abortion. I just can tell you, as somebody who's had three children, that the idea of forcing someone to do this, whether the child is non-viable or even more horrifically in the case of rape or incest, is such an affront that I can't believe anyone would do it. Is this going to be a voting issue in Arizona this year?
Absolutely, it is. There has never been a more critical time for families in Arizona. We're closer than ever to restoring access to abortion and to restoring choice. We do have a ballot initiative that folks are currently collecting signatures for that would enshrine, yeah, abortion access into Arizona's constitution. Yeah. And so because we are about ground, our state has an opportunity to flip both the House and the Senate in November.
Absolutely. Arizona State Senator Eva Birch, wishing you well and wishing you well for your health and also for what you're trying to do for women. Thank you so much. And that is tonight's readout.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.